This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Salat wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima alamtana. Innaka sami'un mujibu dua. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Welcome everyone. I made it different today. It's just because of the number of the questions we are getting. Wherever I go, subhanAllah, wherever I travel, there's always like, can we have a question and answer? So I opted to do this. And I'm going to take one from, I can't tell you how many questions I got. And I was like, did I make a major mistake? But that's okay. And then, so I actually, yani I chose different topics, yani different categories, right? So I'm going to share with you. So if in between, like from moving from one question to the other, if you have any questions from the audience, because actually it should be, it is your session. Let's put it this way. But a couple of the questions, most of the questions very relevant. And I loved it because almost all of them came from women and it's related to us, women and family. And I'm going to read with you. I mean, a couple of the questions, I was like, wow, I got a question from a 14-year-old. It's probably going to take all of the class. We're going to try, bi-idhnillah, to make it once a month. So we can continue with topics. And then once a month, we will do it, questions and answer, bi-idhnillah. So let's start with the first one. First one is very common, actually. And it says the following. There is no name, and I don't know. Even if I have the name, I'm not going to read the name. So the question, salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. How does one cleanse their heart from hatred for someone who does wrong to them day in, day out? Then she said, I promise myself every day that I will ignore and forgive this person for the sake of Allah. But I fail every day because something new happens. It really doesn't matter what this person does, but what matters is, this is what I loved about the question. Let's see if you will feel what I felt. She said, doesn't matter what this person does. What matters is, I have failed Allah again, and all my good deeds are being eaten up by this hatred in my heart. I loved it. That's why I put it number one, hadha al question. I feel immensely burdened by this, and it saddens me that I am not the better, bigger person to completely clean the state and forgive this person. Please advise. I don't know how old, where is she? I just got the email and the question. This applies to all of us. Nobody in this room, nobody with me online, nobody in this world have not lived a time, if not repeated time, where someone have bothered you, did an act of injustice to you. Truly, not you are perceiving it. It's real, right? Stabbed you in the back, disappointed you. So this is what I, when I read these, I say, welcome to the world. And this is why this life, dunya is dunya. So we all have to accept it, number one. Especially I'm talking to the young, because you are not yet, subhanAllah, I wish I was your age, but I didn't know anything and everybody was beautiful and nice. But the more we grow up, and it's part of the world and part of life. So this doesn't mean, okay, khalas, you do this to me, I'm going to hate you. This is what I say to myself before I will give you the answer. And I actually, some of these answers I really researched. Number one, what is the difference between me and everybody else? This is very important for you. Where are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It doesn't matter, I'm not seeing everybody. I'm talking between me. That's why I loved the second part of the question, which it doesn't matter what this person does. And again, I don't know he, she, who's that person. But it is every time I fail Allah, what is she looking at? She's looking at her relationship with Allah. That's where the starting point should be for everybody. Once you start seeing people, it gets very difficult, almost impossible. I really mean it. It's always whenever something good happens to us from through people, or here we are, The first thing, it has to be two things. Why Allah allowed this to happen? Nothing happens without the will of Allah, right? When you say Jazakillahu khair, Allah allowed it. When you say you're the worst person I have met, Allah allowed it. So the first question is, why did Allah allow it? Meaning, what does He want from me? What does He expect from me? One. Two, how should I act in the way pleases Allah? Neither pleases me, nor pleases people. And this is where this verse in Surah Al-Hashr, and I highly recommend all of you memorize it like your name. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He praised the muhajirin, the immigrants, and then Ansar, the helpers, He said, there is people that are going to come afterward. This is you and me. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ, they came afterward. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Look at the sequence. Number one, Ya Allah, forgive our sins. What does that mean? I probably have done this. Maybe I didn't do it intentionally. I am sure I've hurted somebody. I'm not an angel. None of us are. But usually what happens, we don't see our faults. We don't see our mistakes. And if someone comes and tells you your mistake, that's when you know who you are. How do you take that mistake? So number one, I will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it. And then what does He want from me? Those who comes afterward, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفَرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Ya Allah, please forgive my sins. And not only for me, I'm not selfish. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And everybody that came before me, believers. Now comes the point. Because the question is the feeling in the heart. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Ya Allah, don't put in our hearts ghil. It is not only anger and hate. It's a combo. It's malice. When you see that person, she or he, you really don't want to see them. And everything inside you changes. And you say, I don't want to see her. I don't want to see him. And then if any word comes in, what's the response will be? Immediately you have to say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Ya Allah, don't put in our hearts hatred to anyone just because they are what? Believer. This is what the verse said. It doesn't matter. Not all believers are angel. Not everybody does perfect, right? So number one, and this happens to me and I'm sure happens to you, and this verse literally like you put anesthesia on a wound. Immediately you look at this person and say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Ya Allah, don't put, you're begging Allah. You're turning to Him. This is an act of worship. You will be rewarded. I'll be rewarded. لَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Don't put any hatred inside me. Doesn't matter what they did. The other verse, which will help you not only clean your heart, but also makes you react in a best way, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it to Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And you all know the story, when Sayyidina Aisha was accused, and then who spread the rumor? Now imagine you live in here, and everybody in town is talking about you, not negative, in the worst case scenario. And you are the daughter of Abu Bakr and the wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Who spread the rumor? Who said, did you hear? Text, share, was his relative. His relative is poor and Sayyidina Abu Bakr always spend on him. So here the scenario is that Sayyidina Abu Bakr didn't do anything, on the contrary. And this man, out of weakness, just surprised it. I mean, how many times we say things and you say, why did I say it? And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr naturally, this is his daughter, said, that's it. I'm not spending a penny on this man. Fair or not? Fair or not? And Allah revealed the verse. It's in Surah An-Nur. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. هذه هي. This is the million underlines. فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. How can I do this, Ya Allah? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And so what Allah is saying? He's saying those who have wealth and Allah has expanded their sustenance. Do not stop spending. Specifically, this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Do not stop spending on those who are poor and they are immigrants for the sake of Allah. And then, what will make me do it? Now, this is very easy said. This is not easy done. I mean, think of all the scenarios. And Allah says, فَعْفُ وَصْفَحُ. Two orders came to him. Forgive and pardon. Forgive meaning, I'm not going to retaliate. And I'm going to try to avoid you. فَصْفَحُ. There is nothing in your heart. And in general, I will respond even better. What a heart I need. Honestly. Right? What makes me do it? The next in the verse. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? And I say this to, I remind myself all the time, because we all go through this. How many times you and me, and show me hands, we have disobeyed Allah? How many times? Right? Just today. Don't tell me the number. Did He kept feeding me? Gave me all the things, brought me in here, brought you here? Right? Tomorrow will be, inshallah, even better. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? The answer is, that's what Sayyidina Abu Bakr did. نَعَمْ رَبِّي. He immediately talked to Allah. بَلَا وَرَبِّي. By Allah, yes. And he not only spend or reinstate the payment, you know what he did? He gave him even more. So this case has two parts. Parts is me internal. So this is what we have to do. And this is not going to be a day or two. This is constant. And then in your salah, in your dua, you say this dua. Clear my heart. If you don't know the ayah, you say, clear my heart. Don't let my heart have any grudges, hate on anybody. Now, second, this person is day in, day out. Try to avoid that person as much as you can. Again, she didn't explain what is the relationship. But if this is a friend, absolutely pull away. They will not change. You need to reach a point where you accept people the way they are. It's very hard, by the way, because you still have expectation. Avoid as much as you can. They text you, respond with one word. Respond, because it's actually salam and raddu salam. But minimum, one word. Don't argue. Don't try to explain. It's going to go nowhere. It's going to add. So again, I don't know. Imagine this is the parents. Imagine this is a child. Imagine this is a husband or a wife. In and out. That's what she said. Day in. Or siblings. So try to avoid as much as you can. And a lot of dua, and may Allah make it easy. Again, it is not easy whatsoever, but Allah makes things easy. This is a very tough one. It took me a while to answer, actually. And I'm going to read it. This will hit hard for many of you. How do you suggest managing a rebellious teenager? Wait to hear. 14-year-old who's currently anti everything her parents likes, most importantly, Islam. She complains a lot when we take her to Islamic lectures, refuse to wear hijab in those settings. Do we stop taking her? That's the first question. She doesn't want to associate with the Muslim kids in her school, so she doesn't even try forming relationship with them. We are new to the area, so she doesn't have a lot of relationships yet. We have tried arranging get together with Muslim families, with girls the same age as her, but so far, she has not clicked with them and is suspicious of our motives in inviting them. Now, background, I'm glad she gave that. Before moving here, she had a couple of Muslim friends whose families are much more liberal than ours. She didn't give me detail. We lived in an area for work with much smaller Muslim population and moved as soon as the chance to a larger metropolitan area in hopes she makes friends. For now, that's the mother. For now, I have backed off on directly mentioning Islamic things to her because she thinks all I do is lecture. And I am just working on strengthening my relationship with her as a person. Now, mother feeling. I feel so sad because I have tried my best since she was a baby to expose her to Islam from Sunday school, weekday Islamic classes, learning Arabic, reading Quran and Islamic children books in home, listening to nasheeds, making our holiday fun and festive and educational. Unfortunately, she is very attuned to what outside society thinks, and she has picked up on the strains of anti-Islamic sentiment. In this situation, do you have any suggestion what to do? Deep breath, right? Yeah. Exactly. That's how I did when I read it. I'm not going to look here and says how many of you are. No, I'm just kidding. This is very normal. It's very normal. I can't tell you how hard it's becoming for both, for the parents and for the children. Don't you think it's only hard for the parents? It's very hard for the children. They really want to please their parents, but the pressure on them is very hard. And I'm not defending them, but it's real. It's real. Just click on TikTok and see what they see. The pressure, even IG, they're all these influencers, right? Everything is against Islam. Everything is against Islam. So what do you do? This is a couple of things I said. I tried really to think hard. Number one, I'm just going to start from the end. The result of the children is not in your hand. That doesn't mean it's okay. These feelings are, but the result, how the children will grow up, how they will turn, is not in my hand or yours. You really have to live with this. Because the way we are attached to our children, part of it is because they are my children. So when people bring a negative comment about the child, you know who gets hurt first? The mother. Why? Why? Because I raised her. So as if they are criticizing me. We need to move away from this. The children, the end is not in your hand. Sayyidina Nuh's son is kafir. And Sayyidina Ibrahim, his father, was kafir. So number one, and you have always, literally in everything we do, the end result is not in my hand. Like I prepared all this and you all came in. Allah allowed it. Could have been that Allah will not allow it. This will not happen. So that's number one. Number two, come to the reality. This is a 14-year-old, which the hormones are on the peak. Very sensitive. Do you remember when you were 14? Right? May Allah help our parents. Yeah. I mean, we are adult, but we are not adult yet. Right? We think we know, and I'm not putting them down, but we all were 14 years old. We think we know. Reality, we don't know, right? But we think we know, especially these days, everything is available. I go and read, and I say it. And also, especially living here, girls especially, more than boys, the issue of identity, who they are. I'm not talking about the other identity. I'm talking to them. Are they Muslim? Are they non-Muslim? Are they practicing? Are they non-practicing? Where do they fit? The last couple of times when I'm with the youth here, that's the commonest question comes out. Fit in. This is what this girl is trying to do. How easy it is, you go to a 1,000 school, 1,000 students school, and everybody looks at you and make fun of you. What can you be? The reason I'm saying this, I'm not defending the girl, but I need parents, mothers to understand this. This is not back home when I and you, you go to class, everybody is you and me. And we still had issues. She's probably the only one. So what do we do? Number one, you come to this not comparing her with you and what you were those days. It's not those days, not even 10 years ago. 10 years ago was much easier. I'm sure you all know this. If you have children who are like in their 20s now, and you have teenagers now, you think this is a different century. Three, and I easy to me to say it, and may Allah make it easy for this mother. She needs to be very patient. And don't respond. And let her, leave her. Don't push her. The more you push, the more she will go away. When do you intervene? And you have to be very vigilant also. Because 14 years old is when people start, doesn't know exactly right from wrong, meaning the real, right? And then you are scared also, this is your daughter, you don't want her to go to the extreme wrong. Pull away, a lot of dua. Don't you ever give up on them at all. And never, when, especially when you get upset, because you know sometimes how they respond. And when they respond, you get so nervous and you get so angry. Don't you ever make dua negative, because you don't know what Allah and when Allah is listening. There is a very famous, he just died recently actually. He was in Jeddah and I remembered I attended a Jumu'ah khutbah about that. He was completely paralyzed. One time he really upset his parents. He lied and they knew he was lying. His mother said, go, may Allah break your back. He went diving and he fractured his neck. And he was completely paralyzed, completely from here. Then he became one of the best da'iyah. Because he always say, it's my mother's dua. And the whole Jumu'ah khutbah was about, don't do dua on the contrary. Ruh Allah yahdik. You know, we say this, go, may Allah guide you. Perfect. Perfect. What do you want? Or when someone says, Allah yahdik, you say, Ameen. Don't get upset. She just made dua for you. He said, Ameen, please, Ya Rabbi. So make, and honestly, take it positive. Make a lot of dua to your children. Now, number one, don't get upset to anyone. And especially the questioner. You need to be the example, the role model. And I'm talking about role model. Your relationship with Allah has to be there. Your dress code, your Islam, your salah, right? That doesn't necessarily mean she'll follow you, but at least when you make your dua, Allah will respond. And you know Allah will never let you down. Because you turn to Him and says, I did everything you want from me. Not with the child, but with me and you. In case, again, I don't know the woman, but in case, and we all, you need to go back. Because this could be the sign that Allah wants you back. When Allah make me go through difficult time, the first question I say, what did I do? Don't blame people. What did I do? And show me, Ya Rabbi, and show me what you want from me. So look at yourself, make a lot of dua, keep reminding yourself the end result is not in your hand. Be very patient, pull back, pull back. A lot of this age, boys and girls, right, they wanna do it their way. But also keep an eye, because there's limit. You don't want them to go. But it is not easy. I had a friend of mine said, I wish I can put them, don't laugh. She said, I wish I can put them in the freezer from 12 to 18. I'll get them out at 18. I'm like, oh, why 18? She said, at least this is that, which is true. This is the toughest time. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. And don't get, it's easy said, don't get upset. The best way is to be their friends. If you are a person who the girl comes to you when she has a problem, you're her friend. If she goes to you, somebody else and say, tell mom, then you are not her friend. Because she's worried what's your... Don't say when she comes to you and says, I smoked today, I vaped. Don't say, is this my daughter? And what people will say, she will never say anything. Change your face. Don't say it's okay, because it's not okay. But say, let's talk about it. I know everybody doing it. You know, be clear, be frank. This is reality. And let's talk about it. Then she will open up to you. So it's extremely important to build a relationship with her. And it doesn't come at 14. It comes much earlier. And may Allah make it easy. Now, this is a teenager question. And I put the title, Amazing Teenager Question, right? Assalamu alaikum, I am 14-year-old. Look at the opposite. Subhanallah. So I am a 14-year-old Muslim girl. And here are my questions for the Tuesday, May 23rd. So specific, I loved it. And there's many, but I'm going to choose some so I can cover more. What should I do if I like someone in high school? Can I talk to him? He's a Muslim. I love the question. She's so sweet. If she's in front of me, I'll hug her. Because she's so sweet. Look at the rest of the question. So what should she do? How many mothers here have 14-year-old girl? Okay, what do you do? Yeah? I don't know, Ya Rabbi. Number one, acknowledge the feeling. Don't tell her, you're still young. That's it, you shut her off. Remember, I come to you and says, I'm very sad. Why you're sad? Allah gave you everything. Right? She's not gonna listen to me. She brushed my feeling. You should say, really? Why, subhanAllah? Okay, let's talk about it. So the first thing is, when you say, okay, let's talk about it. Don't say haram, or you're going to Jahannam, or all this 9 yards. Leave Jahannam in its place. Number one, I mean, if I need more, I will ask more questions before I answer this, but just general. Number one, why do you like him? Well, he's a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. Right? But why do you like him? What is in this boy she's missing at home? She's 14 years old, right? Probably love or caring. Caring. It's not only love, but it's caring. You feel somebody cares for you. So, okay. And you say, okay, come on in. Okay. So what do you like about him? Talk to her, right? What do you like about him? Let's see. And then you ask about the boy. Does he? How do you know you like him? Analyze the feeling, because sometimes we know I love you, we don't know what this even means. So how do you like him? And then what do you want me to do? You ask her. As a mother, what do you want me to do? How can I help you? Don't say you're too young, you're gonna get old, you'll forget. What do you want me to do? Yani, the most important thing is acknowledge the feeling and acknowledge the challenge. She is struggling. Why did she send the question? Why did she say, what do I do? Because she knows it is the beginning of something maybe not right. Right? Why do you ask this question? So, yani, always when someone asks a question, look at the positive in it. Don't look at the negative. Read in between. Right? So we will say, okay, let's talk. What should I do? Again, I can't answer because I don't have a lot of details, but I was like, how are you communicating? If it is daily texting, before I go to bed for 2 hours, now we are slipping. We have to be careful. And what is the end result of this liking at age 14? And the only thing I will say, I always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I always say, start and end with a dua, because he's the only one who's going to protect us. And I will say, you know what, my beauty, go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this stage, not to get you attached to anyone. You know why? Because you will get hurt. You know, you're at 14 and you get hurt, ouch. But in general, can she talk to him in the school? Yes, but outside the school, preferably not. Because it will slip. I had the same question, subhanAllah, from a 21-year-old last weekend. And she was telling much more. But it usually starts by liking and then, you know, texting, and you get attached. Especially us women, we get attached. So you need to also protect. What I will do again, if she is hearing me, I probably will say, I need more detail. Look at the next one. Wallahi, I have not asked this question to myself. She said, why do I feel I am not good enough for Allah? Wow. SubhanAllah. How do you answer if this is your daughter came to you? SubhanAllah. The first thing I will say, Barakallahu Fik. What you are looking for is what Allah think of you. Right? The question says, I don't feel I'm good enough for Allah. Meaning, I have Allah in my life, and I am paying attention to where is my relationship with Allah. This is 14-year-old. This is not you and me. And then I'm going to say, why you're not good enough for Allah? On the contrary, now you need to give a lot of positives, because this can go also another way. Why you're not good enough for Allah? Don't you believe in Him? Start with the basics. Don't you believe in Him? Don't you worship Him? Don't you see He's seeing you? Don't you see He? Don't you turn to Him when you need something? Right? And then we come into what is the things you do for Him? We start with the basics. Right? Let's say she prays, but I don't pray regular. Don't say you're not good enough. Okay, then this needs improvement. We'll talk about it later. And then, do you sin? You always, but don't use the word sin. Said, what do? That you think you're not good enough to Allah. Let her speak. But always encourage them. And always starts by saying, nobody will be enough, good enough for Allah. Not because we are sinner, but because what He gave us. Like when somebody is so generous to you, you say, whatever I will do is not enough for you as a human being. But this is very good heart to human being. If I was her mother and she asked me this, I'll kiss her head to her toe. Because at 14, and Allah is the most important thing to me, and I'm thinking what He think of me, subhanAllah. Look at this. This is a very nice question. Same girl. What are some things that make me happier as a person? This is a thinker, by the way, Hadi. Honestly, she's a thinker. She thinks deep. What makes you happy? I will say, as simple as ice cream. Right? Cup of coffee. Anything that's halal, that makes you feel good, do it. Yani Islam doesn't say don't be happy. فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُ. Allah used the word farah, happiness, many times in the Quran. We are not an ummah of very serious. No, we are also ummah of happiness and celebration. What do we do in Eid? It's going to come again next month. What do we do? Right? We eat, we drink, we all, with the Islamic boundaries. So what makes you happy? In general, what makes me happy? Sometimes feeling, sometimes doing things, achieving things, and sometimes doing nothing. Sitting on that couch, sipping your tea or coffee, whatever you like, right? Exactly, and you say, oh, alhamdulillah, there's nothing I worry about. But in general, again, general answer to this question, there's so many things that will make you happy. And we're not going to give lecture about look around you, what Allah gave you, right? But sometimes you look at an animal and you smile, right? Like two kittens playing, right? Don't make you smile. So there's so many things. Most of us as a human being, especially if we are not only connected with Allah, but if we look at the real life, sometimes very simple things makes us happy. And the more simple things makes you happy, you are a simple person. Unfortunately, the more Allah give us, happiness moves further. Because we have it all. What are some, look at, this is again her question. What are some productive ways to spend my free time? Productive. She didn't say fun. SubhanAllah. I always say number one is sports at this age. At 14, let the youth play sports. I mean, alhamdulillah, we live in California, beautiful weather, you know, hiking and swimming for the girls in a girls' setting, bicycling, sports, play basketball, play football, or play soccer. In general, sports is the best way to spend your time because it will get out the energy, makes you feel good, and makes you feel tired, and you don't have time for others. I see a lot of the mothers complain. I take them from one practice to the other. I said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Because if they have a lot of free time and they are on that phone, it can go completely, number one. Number two, reading. Reading is really helpful. And it doesn't have to be something serious. Because the next question is, am I allowed to read romance book? This girl between Allah and romance. So let's come to reading and then I'll comment on this question. Reading is a very good one, actually. It really, read anything you like. as long as it's within Islamic boundary. Because again, you don't want to read something affect you negatively. I'm not going to say go and read Quran every day, yani every minute. Definitely make part of the reading is the Quran. Read about, for example, I don't know, if it's California, read about California. Read about when you see mountain in front of you. Read about, expand your knowledge. And the more knowledge you have, especially as a woman, you absolutely will be looked at differently. And people will respect you more because she's a woman of knowledge. And knowledge is the strength for us as a Muslim. So reading is another one. Spend time with friends. Person, not texting. Because this texting thing doesn't have the ruh, the spirit of it. Let her go out with her friends. We all spend our time with friends. Free time, productive. For example, somebody was the other day saying, subhanAllah, they put the pictures. They said, I don't give my children, I think 14, 15, I don't give them very limited time for internet and phone. And then she showed pictures what they do. SubhanAllah, painting some part of the house, doing any creative things. The creativity will be, I remember, I mean, at 14, 15, I used to paint. Something that will make you combine happy and productive. Last but not the least from this girl, there was like about 10 questions. Can I wear makeup on special occasions? See this moment between Allah and between ad-dunya, which is fine. Okay, makeup on special occasions. Makeup to a certain extent, what is this special occasion? Is it woman only? Is it mixed? Is it extravagant? Is you gonna attain attention? The answer is no. I'm not gonna say haram or not haram. Why? Because what does Islam usually do? Islam is protective deen. It's a preventive deen. Like in medicine, when we put the masks, why did we put the masks at COVID? That's protection. Because you don't wanna get COVID, and when you get COVID, it's gonna be much harder. So this is how Islam. You see, Islam is all, half of the Quran is protection and prevention. Don't do that. Don't do that. Give zakah. Well, if you steal, then the punishment gets severe. So on special occasion, this is what a lot of my friends, when they were there, when I was studying, actually, you know, makeup is beautiful, and we all want to look beautiful. There's nothing wrong with looking beautiful. But till I get to that occasion, what is this makeup? Am I showing my beauty to everybody? You have to all put this. At age 14, I will say yes with limitation, with very much limitation. I'm not gonna go out and I am completely showing completely my beauty. But in general, minimum, I'll put the makeup when I enter, let's say, to the house with my friends, with no pictures or selfie, everything is online. Because now there is the point is invalid. You get to the house, you want to look beautiful, that's fine. Before you leave, you wash. Because that's what Allah said, لَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ, meaning don't show your beauty in public. For your husband, absolutely. In front of your maharam, no problem. But in general, gathering of girls, young girls wants to have fun, sure. But not leaving the house or taking pictures or putting it on. And remember, as a Muslim girl, as a Muslim woman, as us all, we are example, people look at us. So if I do something, said, oh, look, she is doing it, then we are fine. And may Allah make it easy. It's easy said, but these daily things is not easy done. But wallah ladhi illahu, you know what I always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I want you all, young and old, when you love something, and you know this something is, I wouldn't say not pleasing to Allah, but may end up in not pleasing to Allah. You know what the dua I do to Allah? I said, remove the love of this thing from my heart so I don't have to struggle. So if you love something and you're struggling, don't say, Ya Rabbi, remove it only from my, remove it from my heart. So if someone put it in front of me, I don't care anymore. And then staying away from it will become easier. You're too quiet, no question? Fine, no question? Already? This is a fiqh question, but I'm going to answer it because I get it very frequently. What is the ruling of vaginal discharge in the woman? Does it negate the wudu? And this is very practical. Why? You are at work for 14 hours, right? So, and you are a woman who normally, again, لا حياء في الدين, you have a lot of vaginal discharge. Well, every time, then I have to, because the question also is negate wudu, and I have to change. طيب, if I am sitting in 16 hours, or I am in college, or I am in class, or I am in the surgery coming out, I'm not talking about your home. So there is two opinions of it. One of them is the original opinion. And then there is a contemporary opinion based on the knowledge we learned in physiology and in anatomy, actually. Originally, the ruling in fiqh, in every book you will read, is ما يخرج من السبيلين. Anything comes out from the two openings, negate wudu. That's the asl, they say. That's the base. So if I am home, and I have no problem, I go and change and make wudu, then you absolutely follow this. Now the recent, which is actually one of my teachers, she just passed away, may Allah give her Jannat al-Firdaus. She was one of the first one who wrote a book about that. Said medicine showed that there is three openings, in fact. There's not two openings. Again, for anatomy, meaning, again, لا حياء في الدين, just to explain, there is an opening where the urine come out, and there is an opening where the stool comes out, and there is an opening where the baby comes out. So in fact, there is three. The vaginal discharge comes from where the baby comes out. The vaginal discharge, if you look at it in under the microscope, it's the same discharge that comes from the nose. So when they came to know that, they said, ah, this one is not najas. So if the vaginal discharge comes out, then it does not negate wudu. طيب, how do you combine these two? Because this is how we, in our deen, in fiqh, you don't just say haram or halal right away unless something is absolutely clear, there is no, which is going to come later on. There's no question about it. So if I am in a situation where I am very comfortable, I can go and change and do my wudu, take the origin. If you are in a state, but don't be loose, Allah knows. If you are in a state where really changing, doing wudu is going to make it very uncomfortable, or let alone it's going to make you miss salah, then you take the next one. Clear? I hope. You're too quiet. I don't know what happened. Already. Yes. And if you are outside, you cannot, then you take the, which means it does not negate wudu. So you can go and do your salah.
And it's necessary that we must change.
If you take the first opinion, yes, it's just change, or you wash, or if you have, you change, yani, the panty liner, or you wash it. But if you take the second one, the answer is no. The only time there is no different opinion, if the woman has, it's a medical condition, we call it leukorrhea, where she has continuously vaginal discharge, continuous. This is, you see it, in this case, she doesn't have to change, but she's like the person who always bleed. So she needs to make wudu before every salah.
So I'm asking because I asked a similar question. So it's like, is it like gooey, like?
It's the clear vaginal discharge. In the middle of the period, usually happens in the middle of the cycle. It's the same gooey stuff is the vaginal discharge. Yeah, it's the same. Now look at this one. This is very deep, beautiful question. Again, I don't know who asked it. We know that Allah loves our actions. Wallah, there is a lot of good people out there. And people look at things very differently. And this, subhanAllah, we know that Allah loves our actions when we do them purely for His sake. True? Yes? طيب. But surely, we also have in our hearts the hopes of being rewarded through that action. That does that hope take away from the purity of the intention? May Allah reward you. Did you get the question? So I'm going to say, Ya Rabbi, I am coming to the class for you only. But I also want the reward of me coming, or sitting, or struggling. So is me looking at the reward negate the fact that I am doing it purely for Allah? Did you get the question? It's very deep, subhanAllah. Yes or no? Yes? We're in big trouble. Really? Yes? Negate? Now you change your mind. Of course. So why didn't you ask me in the beginning to repeat the question? I'm just kidding. But usually if you are not clear, you always ask the question to be repeated. So her question is, we're supposed to do the actions only for the love of Allah. Like, what about, I want the reward also. For example, Adhkar al-Sabah, whomsoever says this will get 100. So what is that? So the answer is, this does not negate this. They are together. And one of the beautiful ones who said it, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, we need to worship Allah based on four things. We love Him, we're afraid from Him, we hope for His reward, and we are afraid we will lose His reward. So the reward is part of the intention. And then there's many verses in the Quran, but the one I really liked is مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah, let me translate and then you will know what this verse answer the question. Allah says, whomsoever do a good deed, a man or a woman. It's actually Umm Salama asked this question. She says, all the rewards goes to the men in the Quran. Allah revealed this. So whomsoever does a good deed, a girl, a boy, a man or a woman, older, doesn't matter. Right? مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْتَى. And Allah, what did He say? فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Has to be, he's a believer. That's the difference between the non-believer who does very good deeds. We always ask this question. You have to be a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says immediately the reward. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. You will live a very beautiful, pure, comfortable life. Comfortable doesn't mean you have everything. Comfort هنا. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. The reward comes in this life. That's it? لا. وَلَنَزِّيَنَّهُمْ now comes in. أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we will reward them for every good deed they did here, there. So you get it both. So here I am, right? I am doing my dhikr because it's going to make me feel good. Alhamdulillah. Will reward me. And why am I dhikr? Into the reward. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So the fact that you do things to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not negate the reward. The fact you also want the reward. And again, sometimes think you are dealing with a generous, with the generous who will give you. Now, pills to delay the cycle. هذا one of the most common, especially Hajj now is coming. يعني هذا the one, literally, there is no Ramadan I lived in my life. I didn't get this on maybe every other day, if I'm not exaggerating. Can I take the pill to delay my cycle so I can fast all Ramadan, or I can go to Hajj, or I can go to Umrah? The answer is not yes or no. It depends. And this is extremely important. Don't say haram, or don't say it is. Is the pill safe for your health? Because anything you take that harm you is absolutely not allowed. So you don't have these medical conditions that you are not supposed to take the pills with. That's number one. Number two, the answer is no, I'm fine. I've used it before, alhamdulillah. The answer is yes, but wait. And I always followed with the following. The following is, this will be the last question, so we get the room ready for salah. As you are taking the pills, remember, it is not the pills who's going to make you not get your cycle. Who's going to make you not get your cycle? Why is that? Because more than 60% of the time, you will start spotting. And that's the drama, I call it, I see it in Hajj every year. So I always prepare the woman or the girl. I said, take it. But don't think, once you take it, nothing is going to happen. You still can get it. And if you get it, then it will be very confusing. The last advice I give, and I said, this, all this is yours. I said, do you want to be better than Sayyidah Aisha? Especially those going to Hajj, because she had her cycle the day they were entering Mecca. And I said, what did she do? Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, you go, do everything what the Hajj does except tawaf. And now at the end, before you leave, if you still have your cycle, you can do your tawaf. So in general, overall, doesn't harm you. Anything that shouldn't harm you, yes, you can. It's not going to stop your pain unless Allah allows it. And put in the back of your mind that this may not work as many of the things. جزاكم الله خير. And time flew actually. Subhanallah. Yeah. Subhanallah. I didn't even finish. I had like 20, just the 20 I put it in this sheet. There was way more coming. But alhamdulillah. I have a question quickly because we have to get the room ready for the men. Spotting when you start getting spots. Not really cycle, but it just a spot, very light. Yeah. And this gets really confusing to them. So جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه تسليما كثيرا.